Hello and welcome back to Reality Check. I skipped out on recording an episode last week because my father had actually died the Saturday before. There were a few things I needed to help with and attend to, but mostly I just didn't think I was in the right frame of mind to produce an episode that I could be proud of. Even a little under 2 weeks later, it still feels slightly weird to get back into the swing of things, but I'm going to do it anyway. On that note, I plan on doing an episode next week dealing with death, specifically the most rational way of getting through it. It's tough, no matter how you approach it, but some ways are definitely better than others. But for this week, I wanted to explore another topic that my dad's death brought up. I realized in pondering his life and the impact he had on me that one of the best gifts he imprinted on my psyche was his constant excitement of the next big thing. He was constantly thinking up new plans to better his medical practice, you know, bring in new gadgets that would make him more efficient. And even at 80 years old, he would get visibly excited when talking about his new favorite restaurant. I didn't realize until recently how much I look for that quality in others. So that's my roundabout way of bringing up the idea of attraction. And what I mean by attraction is simply people being drawn to each other based on their personality and character. And that can be either romantic or platonic. I often talk about self-esteem as being the main way and a vital component in which people can find happiness. I usually talk about it in isolation, you know, how your actions will affect your own mind and vice versa. And even if that's all self-esteem was for, it would still be just as important. But self-esteem and all the positive qualities that branch off of that, such as, you know, my dad's limitless excitement, they're also the indirect means by which you choose your friends, your spouse, and sometimes even your family. Now, part of this is going to get a little confusing, especially when you consider how much of all of this happens subconsciously. But put simply, like attracts like. I know that doesn't sound all that shocking. I mean, it's fairly obvious the more alike you are to your friends, the closer you're bound to become. But what most people don't seem to realize is just how fluid and reciprocal that bond becomes. At the heart of all human relationships, there's an unspoken agreement. I like to call it a contract because it helps to visualize it. When you're first getting to know someone, you're in the most consciously judgmental state that you're going to be in. You're evaluating each other's words, your body language, looks, all of it. That's why first impressions are so critical, because it's rare that someone will want to give you that kind of concerted attention again if they judge you to be not worth their time. So at that starting point, you get a pass or a fail. Do I want to see this person again in my life or not? Are they a friend, romance material, or maybe just a potential business networking contact? Very quickly, everyone gets shoved into a particular box, usually, unfortunately, the forget it box. But I'll get back to this in a bit, but first let me finish the chronology. Okay, so next, you made it to the potential friend box, and this is where the unspoken contract is metaphorically signed. You both agree that you like what you see and hear, and at that point, you both are locked in. You make plans to hang out, you start divulging personal information, you start turning to each other for help, etc., etc. But here's the rub. That contract is still there. What are the terms? Well, usually one of the big terms is, you will not change from how I first met you. Now, some changes are unavoidable, such as growing older. But most every change that occurs on either side of that friendship equation is a challenge to the original contract. Did you meet as two single guys who watch sports together all the time? Well, then when one of you gets a serious girlfriend, the other might get pretty annoyed. After all, that's not what he signed up for. Does your boyfriend suddenly want to do more kinky things in bed? Well, he didn't want to do that before. Why does he want to do that now? And do you still love him like that? This can get pretty disturbing sometimes as well. Are you the most overweight person in your group of friends? Well, be careful about losing too much weight, because those friends signed a contract with a fat girl or a fat guy, and if you decide to improve yourself, that's going to break the contract. So you see, this contract is at the heart of all relationships. You can break it for good reasons, like losing weight or moving out on your own, and you can break it for bad reasons, like getting addicted to drugs or becoming flaky and unreliable. It often doesn't matter which direction the change occurs. All that matters is that any change occurs at all. I mentioned on my What You Need to Know page that there's a chance that when you improve yourself, you might actually end up losing friends or get negative reactions from people. This is exactly what's happening. And because we, and in particular women, actually, place so much importance on keeping friendships alive, we tend to think that if our friends are upset at us for changing, that means we must have done something wrong. And that's absolutely incorrect. It could mean that, if analyzed objectively, but there's an equal chance that your friend is just upset that you're leaving them behind. After all, if you became friends with somebody because of a shared love of smoking weed, and you decide to quit because you realize it saps your motivation, you're breaking one of the core aspects of your contract with that friend. And this all leads me back to that initial attraction point, the first impressions. We attract, and are attracted to, other people that mirror who we are at a given moment. If in your 20s you collect a bunch of friends who want to go to raves every other night, when you hit your 30s and want to start getting serious about life, who's to say how many of those rave friends will still like what you've become? Or if we switch it to romance, how many times have you heard a woman say, "Why can't I just meet a nice guy?" I can guarantee you that that woman is meeting nice guys all the time. She just isn't attracted to them or even potentially noticing them. Why? Because on some level, she doesn't really want a nice guy. Maybe she's been abused most of her life and subconsciously seeks out other abusers. Maybe her definition of nice is screwed up or intentionally, you know, distorted because she's too picky in an attempt to avoid true intimacy. Whatever the reason, she isn't attracted to nice guys, despite whatever she says. Think about it. Isn't it amazing that people with a history of cheating tend to attract other cheaters? That's not a coincidence. In what is either a depressing or a wonderful fact of human nature, depending on whether it works for or against you, people get and have exactly the friends and lovers that they deserve. They may wish for something different, but until they become worthy enough to attract the person they dream of, it's just not going to happen. A guy with no ambition and no self-respect is never going to attract a hot wife with a great personality. He may meet women like that, but he won't attract them. So these past 2 weeks I've been thinking a lot about this, about the people I'm attracted to and the people I've attracted. And ultimately I've decided that I want to be around people who enjoy getting excited by life and by new challenges and opportunities. But the first step is in attracting those sorts of people is to be that person myself. That's the only way it can happen. And I urge everyone out there to do the same thing. Whatever positive qualities you wish you could find in others, find them in yourself first. Once you do, once you start becoming the things that you want to see in others, don't feel too upset if a few friends or even your boyfriend or girlfriend fall away. It's natural, and there's no point in holding a grudge. After all, you broke the contract, but that's okay. You'll be signing a bunch more contracts with better people very soon. And with that, I'll talk to you all next week.